This is episode 6 of Writer-tober 2020, and in this episode, I am going over, obviously, Kamen Rider Decade, episode number 6. Episode 6 of Kamen Rider Decade is entitled Battle Trial, Ryuki World, and it was aired March 1st, 2009, so, wow, it's hard to believe that was like 11-something years ago. Time really flies when you're having fun. Or when you're watching, like, Kamen Rider O's or something. But anyway, this is the delving into of the Ryuki world. So, you know, the mirror world, the mirror monsters, all those crazy things, the advent cards, the decks, everything. Now, in terms of my fandom with Ryuki, I obviously did not watch that until much more recently. I think only 2 years ago, honestly, is when I first started Ryuki, and I kind of blitzed through it within a couple weeks, and it was, quite honestly, like, really fantastic. I can definitely see why so many people look to Ryuki specifically for, like, inspirations for their own work. I'm speaking, like, specifically of Gen Urobuchi, who did Kamen Rider Gaim, and I believe when he was being interviewed, it's like, yeah, this is definitely one of those specific shows that inspired him to, I believe, write Madoka Magica, but also one of the things that he kept in mind as he was actually writing Gaim as well. So that may just be an urban legend. I'm not entirely 100% sure, but that's what I remember seeing in different reports. So that is something to definitely keep in mind. It's like the Battle Royale of Kamen Rider, and that's been how it's been known for like many, many years at this point. And I think it aired in, what, 2002? And it was kind of like a post like 9/11 exploration of what exactly is a Kamen Rider, considering like the you have all these random people that are obviously taking on the name of Rider. And it definitely like helps you understand like what is like the true identity of a writer, if there even is one. And obviously I think there is. I think there's like some certain specifications you got to meet in order to be called that precisely, but you know, that's not what other people think, and I can understand their opinions. But this episode starts out like kind of heavy, honestly, because Natsumi is basically like framed for murder, and it almost makes you think that she did like murder this lady with a fork, who is the head of the Atashi Journal, which is a fun little play on the fact that in the original Ryuki, the journal was called the Ore Journal, and this one is the Atashi Journal, and I believe those are ways that you can, like, refer to yourself in, like, the first person, I think, in the Japanese language. So I thought that was pretty clever instead of, you know, going with, like, Ore Journal again. So, again, it shows you, like, there's just a slight twist on here of this different writer world and everything. So she's framed for murder, and Tsukasa appears in the coffee shop dressed as a lawyer instead, you know, super fancy. He's even got, like, the Udataros glasses from Kamen Rider Denno, so, you know, he's looking super snazzy, and they see on the screen when they're out and about in the city that Natsumi was arrested for this, and then she's told exactly how this whole, like, Kamen Rider trial system actually works, and that the attorneys and, I guess, witnesses to the cases, it's not really, like, completely completely explained, that they basically duke it out in the mirror world using writer tech, and whoever is the victor is the one that they listen to, and I guess it's described as like the most fair and impartial way of arriving at a verdict, and definitely sounds a little bit heinous, especially if you're, you know, strong proponent for justice. So this definitely seems like, you know, more of a might makes right society, but then it's only like these specific people that get to actually have the belts and everything. So one could certainly do an exploration into the sociocultural implications of such a trial system. Obviously, I don't feel like a modern society would really be able to thrive under such a justice. I don't know. Maybe somebody could prove me wrong, but I don't know. It just seems a little bit not great. And however this world like survives for so long with this kind of system of justice is interesting. But I mean, the idea of attorneys duking it out, that's kind of cool. So anyway, Tsukasa appears and he's like, yep, I'm her lawyer. And he basically keeps saying that she's guilty, you know, just kind of messing with her and not letting her do her little laughter pressure point thing. Shinji is there as a witness, who is a photographer, I believe, for the Atashi Journal. And he was chosen to join the battle because he was like the first person to see the victim after she had been killed. But he's not even entirely convinced that Natsumi is the one that killed her. So they're walking around and kind of introducing themselves and figuring things out when suddenly he kind of sees like a vision of Kamen Rider Knight in the mirror world. So they decide to enter it and they join the battle that way. I think it's only Tsukasa that actually goes in now that I think about it. And he goes in, he fights a little bit, then he's like expelled out, and then Yusuke basically is like, oh, that was your plan all along to try to figure out, like, you know, who's in there and who's actually the real culprit. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, totally, totally. And I feel like this is something that I totally forgot about, but it's like this little running thread through the various worlds where Yusuke thinks that Tsukasa basically has everything under control and he's just basically making up as he goes along. And I think this comes up again in the Blade world. And it's pretty funny. I definitely give him props for that. So they investigate the crime scene at the Atashi Journal, and they find that the prosecutor, the shark writer, and I really don't know what else to call him because I can't not remember the proper name of his writer, and I believe this is actually just an original costume made just for Decade, so it's like one of the missing Ryuki writers, I suppose. And he's explaining how Ren is also part of the battle as well, who is a writer at the Atashi Journal, or was a former writer at the Atashi Journal, who was also seen at the scene of the crime. And they go and try to explain all this, and it's really just kind of an information dump until he and Tsukasa enter the mirror world and start fighting each other, and then they're interrupted by these different mooks and everything, and the Shark Rider is like trying to see like what the full extent of his powers is, so he's obviously not on the up and up here. He's definitely got something up his sleeve. Yusuke is able to find Ren, and he learns that he and Shinji were a team at the Atashi Journal. Like, he was a writer and Ren was a photographer, and they kind of worked together in that way. And Ren sees the battle in the mirror, and he goes ahead and joins it with Shinji, and they start fighting each other, and then Decade appears, and he turns into Kiva, and he starts fighting Night, and I like how he talks about it. It's like, well, a bat for a bat, huh? And, you know, explaining the fact that Kiva is basically like a bat-based type writer, and Night is obviously like a bat-based writer, because he made the contract with the bat monster. And they fight, and they pull out all the stops and everything with their different cards. And Ryuki just kind of watches there on the side, and he's like super angry at Ren for everything that's happened, and that's pretty much where the episode ends. It kind of ends at a really weird place, honestly, in my opinion. This cliffhanger definitely, like, just kind of sits there. And interestingly, like, thinking about this specific set of episodes, like, I hadn't really watched anything of Ryuki when Decade first aired. So, obviously, this is kind of new territory for me. Like, I knew the basics, and I knew, you know, some of the names and everything. But I really didn't, like, understand what the core of Ryuki is. And I don't know, I just don't feel like this world was done as right as the previous two. It just doesn't feel like it's following in the footsteps of what they had going there. It's like they took the idea of, you know, attorneys and everything, maybe because, you know, Phoenix Wright was super popular at the time. I don't know, it could be because of that. And they just kind of made this, like, different type of battle royale style. I don't know, it just doesn't fit together, like, as cohesively as, like, the continuing of the Grongi's Gigeru game from Kuga, or the idea of Kiva being, like, this bridge between the Fangire and human worlds. I don't know, this one just seemed a little bit more haphazardly put together, but I like the fact that they made a new writer suit for it, so that's kind of cool. And that's pretty much all I have to say about this. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing how the second episode plays out. I know that when it first came out, there were like some super heavy spoilers basically for the end of Ryuki, just based on the fact of who appears and what they do in the episode. So, you know, now that I actually have seen Ryuki, it'll be interesting to actually go back, because I really don't remember the specific plot point that people are pointing to, like, in these episodes specifically. But that's it, and that's pretty much all I got for this episode. So tune in next time to hear about episode 7. Oh, wow, we're really far already. And the end of the Ryuki arc, and seeing what happens there with that kind of mirror world. And remember, the one who doesn't serve... No, that's not how it is. The one who doesn't fight won't survive. Or something like that.